This morning, I want to share with you, we talked last Sunday about the cancer of sin. We talked about what it is, what it looks like, how we can come out from underneath it. This week, I want to talk to you again concerning the cancer of sin, the fight with the flesh. How many of you guys ever have you ever fought with your flesh before? Really? That is so shocking to me. I am very surprised by that. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get into our message this morning. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity at this moment, at this time, to listen to your word, to be into your presence. And Father, I pray that through the teaching of your word this morning, God, that you would show us that there is a way to come out from underneath sin. There is a way to win the battle over the flesh. There is a way to be victorious in our life, and that is through you. And so, Lord, I thank you for anointing me to preach your word this morning, and I thank you, Father, for anointing each and every person to receive your truth. Father, I ask that you would remove every barrier this morning, that you would hone in everybody's thoughts and their spirit to what is being said and preached today. We thank you, Father, for a revelation of your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 7. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up there on the screen. Romans chapter 7, it's going to start with verse 14. It says this: "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do." How many of you guys ever been there? I don't understand what I'm doing. You know, this is not just some like ordinary Joe that's saying this. This is the Apostle Paul here. This is the one that has spread the gospel all over Europe, Asia, and is planting churches, is you know, one of the most influential apostles of all time. And he says here, "I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law in my mind, and makes me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of someone's private journal. Not for public reading, right? Something that's very private. The Apostle Paul says, "I am a wretched man. I have no clue what I'm doing." He said, "My inward parts, my spirit, I want to do what is right. I want to do what is good, but I find myself doing right the opposite. What a wretched man I am." He goes on to say that, he said, "Who can rescue me from this prison? Who can rescue me from this body of death? He says, man, that is like, that's deep stuff. That's like coming along and finding someone's journal, opening it and reading these personal notes that someone is writing down. I mean, you're the Apostle Paul. Get it together, man. Right? Get it together. You've seen Jesus. He literally knocked you off your horse. You talked with him face to face, not the Jesus that kind of walked on earth, but the glorified Jesus. He saw him face to face. He's planting churches. He's writing the Bible. Of course, they didn't know it was the Bible at the time. He was just writing letters to the churches, but he's writing all these amazing in-depth letters to the church, and he's known worldwide in the known world, and yet he says, I don't know what I'm doing. What I want to do, I don't do it. But inside me, in my spirit, I really, really want to do it. And so I find this war waging inside of me. I'm sure you guys can't relate to Paul at all in this piece of scripture. But how many of you guys are familiar with C.S. Lewis? He's the author of the Chronicles of Narnia and, I mean, so many other wonderful books as well. He once said, no man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. Isn't that true? It's like, you know, you're going along with your life and you're okay. You come to some crazy church service at New Freedom Church. You've never been here before. All of a sudden, you hear Pastor Jimmy speak a word and you feel convicted in your heart. You feel like everything is okay. There's no struggles hardly in your life except for what is common unto man. And then you hear this gospel preached that says, in order to get right with Christ, you must repent of your sins. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I really feel like God is tugging on my heart to do it. And so you do it. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to do good and you're trying to do what's right. And then all of a sudden, it gets hard. Right? You find yourself doing the very things you don't want to do. You have the heart to do it. You have the mind to do it. You got your will set. But all of a sudden, the war that wasn't there before is now going gangbusters in your spirit. And you thought, man, this is supposed to be good, right? I'm supposed to be, things are supposed to be okay. I'm supposed to be smelling the roses. I'm supposed to be living the good life. And then all of a sudden, there's World War III breaking out in my spirit. Breaking out in my life, breaking out in my marriage, breaking out at work, breaking out in my finances, breaking out in my health. Why is that? It's because you have been turned on to the truths of God's word and has revolutionized your life. And because of that, you have for the first time experienced freedom and forgiveness and true love in your life. You are now a son, a child of God. You are now set at the right hand of the Father. Everything that Jesus has is now yours. You are not just some laborer, just some faceless laborer beside Jesus. The Bible says you are a co-laborer. That your inheritance is shared by the Savior himself. And because of that, do you think the devil, the hater of your soul, is going to say, hey, wow, good job, man. I really tried to keep you in the dark for a long time, but I give up. You go along your way. I give up. I throw my hands up. Enjoy your life with Jesus. No. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion. I was watching Nat Geo yesterday. Have you guys ever watched Nat Geo? Man, that's graphic. Right? I mean, they're National Geographic. Okay. Well, it's called Nat Geo. Anyway. So I'm watching this. There's a new show that's coming out, and I want to check it out. All right, this guy is nuts. Let's just set the premise. He gets this plexiglass box, and he has these holes cut out in it. And it's when I talk about plexiglass, I'm not talking about like this. I'm talking about this thick. And so he encases himself in this plexiglass cube and sets himself out. I don't know where he's at, but there are wild lions And he's throwing meat at the holes. And I'm thinking, what kind of person does this? Sick. So so it's not just meat. He ties it to a string, like a really stout rope, and throws it out. And these lions are all around him. They're banging themselves up against this plexiglass cube. They're trying to get at this guy. So the holes are not there to reach his hand out and scratch him on the back of the ear. It's to throw the meat out. And so when they attack the meat, he's grabbing and pulling on it. Like he's playing some game at a fair or something. And so one of the things that I saw is that behind him, this lion just leaps at this cube that he's in and just, I mean, he just trying to attack this guy. And this is what kind of lion the Bible is talking about. It's talking about a lion that wants to devour you, that wants to take you by your jugular and do its deed. To kill you. See, a lion doesn't have it doesn't have compassion. It's wild. It's an animal. When it's hungry, it goes out and kills something to eat. It doesn't wonder how its prey is feeling at the moment. It wants to destroy it because it is hungry. And the devil doesn't have compassion either. He has one thing that he is out to do, and that is to completely annihilate you. And there is not a cube that is strong enough to hold you and to protect you. There's not a house that we can build. There's not a trench that we can dig. There's not a cube that we can build that is strong enough, big enough, thick enough to protect us from ourselves. It's only whenever we trust the hand of the Father that he is able to make us be overcomers, to shut the mouths of the lions like he did for who in the Bible? Can anybody remember? Daniel. Daniel was thrown in an impossible situation, all because he would not bow his knee when the music was going off in the city. And so they took him and they threw him into a lion's den. Not just with one, not just with two, but many lions. Threw him in there, shut the door. King came back the next day, and there David was standing amongst the lions. You see, as believers, he has caused us not just to stand amongst the lions, but to devour the lions in our lives. Amen? God didn't call us to put up with lions. He's called us to annihilate the lions in our life, not by our own will, not by our own might, not by our own strength or wisdom, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? How many times do we get in trouble by putting our hands on things that we're not supposed to put our hands on? We think, I got this. And the whole time we're being devoured. But God is saying here that there's a war that is going on inside each and every individual. There's a war that is going on in every single member of our body, trying to steal, kill, and destroy what God has established in our life. Now, just because we have been saved by Christ doesn't mean Christians don't struggle with sin. Can somebody say amen? And I say amen. Because that's the truth. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin. I meet with six other pastors every Thursday morning. And they're real people. They're not mythical animals. I saw on somebody's Facebook post, they had some deer, I think, they had one horn right here coming out. You know, I thought, man, that was cool. But, you know, we're not mythical people. We don't just disappear on Sundays and then reappear on the stage next Sunday morning. We're real people. And so we talk with one another. We share with one another what's going on in our lives, and we pray over one another. We encourage one another. We need that in our lives, right? You are not an island unto yourself. You belong to a greater thing called the body of Christ. And you have brothers and sisters that are able to lift you up and encourage you and to push you on your way. Amen? I have a person, I think I shared this last week, but I have a person every week that looks me in the eyes and says, Pastor, Jimmy, what you been looking at this week? What have you been allowing in your eyesight this week? I have to give an account for that. And in return, I do the exact same thing with him too. I need people in my life to keep me accountable. You need people in your life to keep you accountable too. Amen? Because we all struggle with sin. So let's do this morning. I want you to relax because you can take your perfectness off and set it down. All right? Let's take our Sunday face and put it to the side this morning because we all struggle with sin. Amen? We all deal with sin. We all struggle with either to serve Christ one day or to not serve him the next day. There are wars and battles in our life that cannot be overcome when we bow our knee and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. But what has been established is that moment is that he has given us a resource, and that resource is his son, Jesus, who has overcome death, hell, and the grave. God himself raised up Jesus from the dead, 3 days in the grave. And now that power, that same power that overcame and that raised up Jesus, the Bible says now lives in you. It's not a power that's unique to the Son of God. It is a power that is unique to the body of Christ and believers. A non-believer can't call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to remove things in his life. Why? Because he's not a believer. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the grave now abides inside of you and I. We have that resource. We have that promise as children of God. Now, our spirit has been set apart, but our minds continue to have the pattern of this old way of thinking. This means we still experience a battle in our mind and our will and our emotions, right? So even though that we're born again, there's still this thing that is happening in our life that is out to continually to kill us in our mind and our will and our emotions. Now we want to leave the old patterns of life and embrace the new life in Christ, but the flesh constantly wants to have its way. You guys understand what I'm talking about this morning. Our flesh constantly wants to have its way. It's never satisfied. There's a war that is waging inside of us. Why is that? Because we were born into sin. We have this selfish sin nature in our life that wants it the way we want it. And that's just the way it is. We are by nature selfish, wretched people. I'm laying it on thick this morning, just so you, if you haven't noticed. I'm laying it on thick because there is a battle that is waging inside of us, and the only way that we can overcome it is to get away from the patterns that we once lived. Because those patterns lead to death, but the way that leads to life is through Jesus. Amen? Now, here's what I mean by saying a battle with the flesh. The flesh is our nature while here on earth, okay? It is developed in us by the way we try to meet our needs out of our own resources. So how can we overcome sin's tendency in our life? Look at the text that we just read. 98% of the text we just read is about the Apostle Paul's struggle with sin. 98% of it. Paul faced the same daily battles that we face in our minds and emotions, and he still wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This guy that says, who's going to save me from this body of death? I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm struggling with sin. What I want to do, I don't do. But I don't. What I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's like we're reading his journal. The Bible gives us the effects of living after the flesh. Look at in Galatians 5, 5:19 through 21. It says, the acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I just said that in church. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They list out all of the acts of the flesh, the sinful nature. He lists them out. Why? So that they won't be ambiguous. So that they would be specific about what the sin nature is, what our flesh is, what it desires. And if given the right circumstances, every one of us in this room is subject to one of those up there on the board. And those that say that they're not, lie to yourself. The Bible says the truth is not in you. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. There's a war that needs to be waged, and you don't need to turn your back to it. You need to put your spirit to it. You need to face it and allow the Lord to be your strength. Allow the Lord to do the battle in your life. Amen? Man, that's hard to do, right? I mean, we're used to warring ourselves. We're used to fighting ourselves. We're used to coming to our own defense because we're good at it. Nobody else is going to come to my defense, so I do it. I'm a self-made man. I can't think of anything sadder on the face of the earth than a self-made man. Because at the end of the day, it's death. At the end of the day, there's nothing. But those who trust in the Lord, those who give over the fight unto the Lord, the Bible says they will renew your strength. In your weakness, he will be made strong. But you know what the point is? We've got to point out what our weakness is first, right? We don't like to admit that we're weak. We don't like to admit that we have need in our life or that we have issues in our life. But when we ask the Lord, God, be my strength and my weakness because I feel like I'm failing you. I feel like there's a war that's going on that I'm completely being annihilated and I need you. At that moment, the Lord comes through in our life and he creates inside of us a way out. Amen? So to sum up what the flesh is, it is all of the habit patterns that we have developed over the years to meet our needs out of our own resources. So what does this mean to the Apostle Paul? Sometimes we forget the humanity, right, of great men and women in the Bible. They're just like us. They had struggles just like us. You know, Peter, John, all the apostles, they weren't born apostles. They were born fishermen, surgeon. One was a tax collector, a hated man. Some of these guys were rough around the collar. Peter got in trouble all the time. He was cutting people's ears off. He was talking when he shouldn't be talking. How would you like this? You've been with Jesus for 3 years. 3 years. And Jesus tells you toward the end of his life, I'm going to die, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. And so Peter just, I don't believe that. And so when the time comes and soldiers come to get him, he cuts off the guy's ear. But when the rubber meets the road, Peter flees. He said to Jesus, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to die with you. I'm going to fight with you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times before you hear the rooster crow. Three times. That irritated Peter. But at the end of the day, Peter was heaping down curses upon himself and denying that he even knew Jesus to a servant girl. He said, I'm telling you, I don't know the man. And see, we forget the humanity of the figures in the Bible, the humanity of the apostles. And Paul wasn't trying to hide what was going on in his life. He said, man, I have no clue what I'm doing half the time. I feel confused. I'm the chief of sinners, he said. Listen to how Paul describes himself. This is out of the New Living Translation. In verse 15, he said, I don't understand myself at all. Verse 16, he says, I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong. Verse 17 says, I can't help myself. Verse 18 says, I know I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. Verse 18 continues and says, no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. Verse 21 says, when I do what is right, I inadvertently do what is wrong. And verse 24, what a miserable person I am. This is Paul talking here. What a miserable person I am. His point is this. We are all locked into this battle, this fight of the old habit patterns that we have developed over the years. The non-Christian is not engaged in this fight with the flesh because they rely on their resources, whereas Christians has all Jesus' resources available to him. And so because of it, we're all locked in this battle. As believers, whatever God has delivered you from, sometimes it doesn't happen at conversion. Sometimes it happens over a period of time of trusting God and letting go of our issues and say, Father, here it is. I've made a mess of it. It's completely broken. It's worse than it was. And so I give up because I'm tired of it. And so here are my battle-weary hands. And in the midst of it is the mess I've made. And so I give it to you, Lord. And when you give it over to the Lord, he does something miraculous with it. He changes that thing that has destroyed you, has controlled you, has manipulated you, has lied to you, has bruised you and broken pieces of your heart that you thought were never redeemable. Struggles that you thought you could never get over. He takes that thing and he makes it new. He transforms it. He conquers the battle for you. And then he causes what you were ashamed of to be now a testimony that you show other people how to get out of. You see, that's why the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy your testimony. The Bible says that he has given us some tools to overcome the devil. And one of them is, it's the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we love not our life unto death. But listen to the second one. That's our testimony. You can't have a testimony until you go through something. Amen? You can only tell other people's testimonies. But it's a brave individual that confronts the battle in their life and says, this has consumed me. It's absolutely lied to me. It has frustrated me. It has dictated me. It has ruined my relationships. It's ruined all trust in my life. And it's almost destroyed my marriage. But God, I give it to you because I've tried every other thing. Here it is. And God begins to make those things that were broken, those things that were bruised, those things that you were ashamed of, and he makes them all new in your life, and he gives you a testimony. And listen to me, testimonies don't come easy. They come hard, amen? I wish that our faith could be built up in the good times when we're on the mountaintop with the sun in our face, with not a care in the world, with everybody in our life healthy, that all of our bills are paid, that we have no cares. But our faith isn't built in those times. Because who needs faith when you're on a mountaintop with the sun on your face? We rely upon God in the midst of the battle, in the darkest of days. We relinquish control because we don't know which way is out. We say, as Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And we see that when that happened, that Jesus was lifted up into the highest place. And he was seated at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he now makes intercession for you and I. But we've got to give it over. The battle is his, says the Lord. Amen. Now, unfortunately, most Christians have not learned how to rely on Christ. Maybe this is the very dilemma that you are facing in the point of your life right now, here today. You have not learned to turn over your life and your cares and your troubles and your battle over to the Lord. The Ephesians church had to be reminded not to think according to the flesh. Paul said in Ephesians 4:17, if you would put that up there, I don't have it right in front of me. It says this, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." You see, there is a part of renewing our minds, renewing our spirit before the Lord. It goes on to say, however, you did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Let's stop right there. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. Some of you here today need an attitude correction in your mind. Because what happens is that we set patterns in our life from infancy all the way up to adulthood. We put patterns in our life through the way we live our life, through the way our parents raised us, through marriage, through raising kids, through whatever situation comes our way, we develop patterns. And those patterns constantly war within us. It's a struggle. And so the Bible says here, it says, we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, what that means is we have a part to play in this. This is not some mythical thing. This is not something that we, now I lay me down to sleep stuff. This is a war-waging thing in our life that we have to sometimes on bended knee, sometimes through gritted teeth, sometimes through pain and tears, we come before the Lord and we push. Why do you think the Bible says that we, when you stand firm in the gospel? When it says that we are to push, we are to strain, we are to move forward. All of those things are forceful. They're not a skip in the park. They're not a stroll down an alley. It's a struggle. It's a war. When you stand firm in the gospel. Don't just stand on your own moxie. Don't just stand on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says he will make your way straight. He will make your way straight. But in all of our ways, in all of our battles, in other words, it's saying this, in all of our battles, acknowledge him, lift it up. Acknowledge you are not the truth. Acknowledge you are not the life. Acknowledge you are not the way. He is. Man, for me, that's half the battle. Because I'm a doer. If there's something that needs to be done, I do it. If there's something that needs to be fixed, I try to fix it. If I can, I'll call Ross. He put in a couple light switches and stuff for me this week. I can't do that. If I tried to do it, I'd probably be electrocuted right now. And so we need to acknowledge the things we can't do in our lives and lift it up before the Lord. That's what it means by acknowledging Him. Saying, Lord, I can't do this, so here it is. I submit to You and Your Lordship for my life. Because I know that the battle is not mine. It is Yours. Amen? The Bible says this. He goes on to say, listen, if you're too weak to fight, He said, I will be your strength in your weakness. Wow. Really? He will be my strength when I'm the weakest. He said, if any one of you lacks understanding, pray to the Lord that graciously gives you all things, and He will cause you to understand. But we've got to acknowledge Him and call upon His name. Amen? Paul later says in Romans 8 that those who live after the flesh could not please God. Now, what does that mean? It means my flesh simply is difficult to deal with. It's difficult. It's hard to deal with. So what should we do in light of all this? Well, Romans 7, 24 through 25 says this. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We go back to the Son of God every single time. We don't go back to a saint. We don't go back to a ritual. We don't go back to a church house. We don't go back to our pastor. We don't go back to an elder. We don't go back to a deacon. We go back to the Son of God, the source of our victory, the source of our strength, the source, the lover of our soul. Why would we go anywhere else? But yet, because there's a war within us, we constantly find ourselves running to other sources in our life. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret in being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you guys know it's important to learn something in a battle? You learn something. You try to advance on that beachhead, going up, face forward, going up, all in the same direction, and then you get beat back. What does that tell you? Don't do that again. Right? Don't do that again. When you're in the heat of the battle, learn something. Even if you fail, learn something. Thomas Edison said, he invented the light bulb, right? And he said, I didn't fail at it 1,000 times trying to create a light bulb. He said, I learned 1,000 ways not to make one. Learn something in your failures. Learn this. The chief thing that you need to learn is that you are not your source. You can't advance that beachhead on your own. You have got to be backed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God fighting for you. Amen? Lastly, we also, according to Ephesians 4:22, need to renew the attitude of our minds. How many of you need an attitude change in your minds today? And you come in here, maybe some of you just came sold up today. Maybe you're just sitting there and going, Pastor, you need to just thank me for filling the seat this morning. You just try to bless me. Try to teach me something. Some of us need to renew our minds to be transformed. What does transformed mean? It means it looks nothing like it used to. It means it's completely new. See, Jesus is not about putting Band-Aids on people. He's not about going in there and going, man, that's a mess. So let me see if I can rearrange that part and put it over here. And if I can use this part and retrofit it over here, I think he's going to be okay. No, He takes the mess that we are, he puts it in his hands, and he transforms it into something that it did not look like before. He made it all new. That's why when we come to Christ and we ask him to forgive us and he comes into our life as Lord and Savior, we feel like that we can breathe fresh air for the first time. That's because he's renewed your mind, he has renewed your spirit, and has given you a right way of thinking. But we cannot depend on our salvation experience alone to win the battle for us every time. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's knowing the Word of God. It's hiding the Word of God in your life. It's starving out those old lions in your life. And starving them out takes a while, right? It takes a while. What does that mean? It means maybe you don't listen to some of the things you used to listen to. Maybe there's relationships in your life that need to be severed because you're losing that battle every single time. Those people that you associate yourself with drag you right back down into the pit where you used to be. And it's the things that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. That's the battle. That's the struggle. It's making those decisions to cut, to sever those things in our life that starve us out, that cause us to fail. We need to have victory in our life. We need to make those decisions in our life. And when we make those decisions, as hard as they are, as complicated as they may be, as bitter as they may be, maybe you would even grieve at making these decisions, but you know in order to do it, that when you do it, it would bring life. It would bring peace. But you're scared to do it, and that's the struggle. That's the war. That's the flesh inside of us warring with the Spirit of God. When we come before Him, we first need to admit, number one, there's a battle. Secondly, we've got to confront the issue. And lastly, and this is a big one, you have to admit that you are not your source. The good news is that you don't have to face a struggle alone. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit to be your strength. Remember where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. Amen? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one with the mighty sword. Look, we see Jesus as this pretty boy, right? Blue eyes, beautiful brown hair. You know, it's got curl in it. You know, we don't want flat hair. And he's got nice robes on. He looks Jesus-y, you know. He is, in our minds, we have conceived this is what Jesus looks like, although no one knows what Jesus looked like. The Bible says that he was as common as any other man on the face of the earth, and we wouldn't be able to pick him out of a crowd. But here Jesus is, and he's standing. And not only does he say, I'm the Prince of Peace, but listen, this is an image for you as I close. Jesus also stands with a sword. And he's ready to fight for you. He's ready to get in the battle with you. He's got skin in the game in your life. He's not shouting from the cheap seats. He is there with you, warring beside you. He is there confronting the enemy on your behalf. Let's all stand this morning. We have today a warring Savior, a warring Savior at our disposal. And I encourage you today to seek Him while He may be found. You see, last week we talked about what sin is and what it does, the repercussions of sin. This week we're talking about, we're getting personal, we're talking about the warring within inside of us, our flesh, our wants, our ability to provide for ourselves, to die to ourselves. The Bible says we are to die to ourselves daily, not monthly, not biweekly, not on Sundays, daily. It's a daily death. I say this all the time, but the trouble with a living sacrifice is that it wiggles off the altar every once in a while. Because things get intense and hot in our life. We don't like to war. I don't like war. I like peace. But if there's a war to be waged and it's going to cause me a separation between me and my Father, then let's go to war. Let's go to battle. Let's get the sin out of my life. Let's get this flesh under control. And let's give God all the glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, if you're struggling with this very, I'm not going to say if. There are people in here that are absolutely, unequivocally about to give up in their relationship with Christ. If that's you today, you need not wait one more second. Allow us to pray with you. Allow us to war with you. Allow us to build you up. Allow us to speak life into you. Today, if you're struggling and your flesh is telling you one thing and you've been doing this other thing, even though it's not what you want to do, your spirit says, I want all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever learn to live, love and trust Him in His day, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. That's what your spirit says. But your actions are doing a completely different thing. And there's a war going on. Number one, you need to repent. Number two, you need to lift that up before the Lord and say, Lord, the battle is yours. I'm done. My hands are hurting. My back is tired. Tired of fighting on my own. I give you this battle because it's yours. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? Say, Pastor, man, that's me. I'm battle weary. Today, I'm weary. I'm in need of you, Lord, today. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. If you feel comfortable this morning, I want you to do something. I want you to raise your hands to the Lord. I don't care if it's above your head. I don't care if it's just right in front of you. Just put those hands up. And as an act of surrender, Father, this morning in the name of Jesus, with my hands lifted up, I lift up to you my battle. I lift up to you the uncertainty of giving it up to you. God, help me with my unbelief. I lift it up before you today. Lord, I've tried to put the pieces back together. I tried to fight on my own, and it just did not work. And so, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief and help me to trust you today. Help me to trust you today. Lord, if the Apostle Paul can say, who can save me from this body of death, then, Lord, I can say it too. I can say that what I want to do, I don't do. I can also say what I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. I need you, Lord. I need your strength and wisdom. I need you to make all things new in my life. Come into my life. Make me new. Resurrect the dead in my life. Cut away the deadness in my life. Cut away those relationships. Give me courage to face my fears, my addictions, my sin. Bring me back to the cross, Lord. Bring me back to the cross, Lord. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to ask if we could have some people come up and help pray. As I end this prayer, if you need prayer concerning anything in your life, I want you to come and allow the Lord to speak over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word, because your word sets us free. Your word delivers us. It points to the light when we can't see. It is our healer, our deliverer. It speaks truth to us when everything else is a lie. And today, Father, I pray over each and every person that is struggling with this war of the flesh. God, that you would cause them to overcome. You would renew their minds. You'd renew their thinking. You would renew their spirit. You would cause everything to be made new, all at the foot of the cross. I wish it was more complicated, but it's that simple. And Lord, we lay it at the foot of the cross where you died, where you suffered for me. I now lay this war, this fight at your feet. Cause me to be an overcomer. Change my mind, Lord. I give you permission to change my mind. Give you permission to speak over me, to rebuke me, to renew my thinking in Jesus' name. Lord, may you have the glory. May you receive all the glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.